Thank you for listening to a Midland Free Methodist podcast. We continue our series Movin' with this week's sermon, Who You Followin'? Here's Pastor Gene.
Amen. Hey, Joe, can you do me a favor? Can you go back to the chorus that we sang, the last chorus that we sang? Okay, look at the words. Victory is won, Jesus is risen, love has overcome, and we are forgiven forever.
Yay!
Yeah! Praise God. Praise God. That's some good news. I haven't got any better news than that this morning. That's it. Let's jump in. First of all, I want to thank you. Many of you have written us cards and given us gifts and helped us move and greeted us out in the foyer and hugged us. And I can't tell you thank you enough for the warm welcome. Our family, Lois and I, we're so thankful. We're really excited. We're going to get the kids home for Christmas for a few days. I'm really excited, so you'll get to meet them. Also, I just want to thank Pastor Eric and Pastor Scott and Aaron and John many things have taken place over the last number of weeks and the work that went into that. And man, thank you guys. I can be out there sometimes, so these guys are wonderfully patient. So I'm so thankful. It's been really cool to be able to work alongside them for 1 week. Good luck, guys. All right. The other thing is I want to remind you is that Wednesday morning, this last Wednesday morning, we had a prayer time from 6:30 to 7:15. Whew! It was cool. It was awesome. It was over here in the ministry center. If you want to join us, we'd love to have you join us. You know what I'd love more than anything else? I would love to blow the doors off of that place and have to move with that prayer time on Wednesday morning. So if you would love to join us, 6:30 to 7:15, I promise we're done by 7:15. So if you need to get to work, you can get to work. If you can, we recognize, please, I understand some of you have small children. Some of you are working during those hours. Some of you are working late into the night, and it's just, I understand. But if you can join us, we would love to have you. 6:30 in the morning over here at the ministry center. Quick summary. Last week, we talked about what you got. We're talking about moving, which is, some of you, I walked in this morning, they said, when are you going to clean up your mess? Two more weeks. This series is 2 more weeks. And trust me, this had nothing to do with getting this out of where I live to here, as it may have had something to do with that. But it also, just to remind us that we're moving. We moved from Florida last week, and that was a huge move. And we know that spiritually, God wants to move us too. And some of us think, well, wait a minute, I'm exactly where God wants me to be. You are. If you are where God wants you to be, he wants you to continue to move. That's part of the whole transformation thing that Romans talks about. So we never arrive. In fact, I'm convinced, and some of you might want to argue theologically with me, I'm convinced we're going to continue growing in eternity. I think I'm going to be in continual awe throughout after the first 1,000 years of crying and being on my knees. I think I'll actually get up and I'll still be in awe, all right? But I am excited about that continued transformation. We talked about that. We talked about how God's given us talents, abilities, gifts, things he's placed in our life. Sometimes it's circumstances, things we're going through, whatever. They're ours. It's what we got. Some of you are English teachers and you're just cringing at what I'm doing, but I apologize, but at the same time, it's kind of fun to do it to you. But what we got is what we got. And what we learned is it's not important what we have, it's important who we hand it to. Oh, come on. That's good stuff. It's not important what we have, it's important who we're handing it to. And we learned that. 5 small loaves. You think that was an accident that they put 5 small loaves and 2 small fish? It's not an accident. It was to point out how it wasn't even close to measuring. It wasn't. There's no way. And again, it's not important what we have. It's important who we're handing it to and what he's going to do with it. We talked about taking inventory of what we have. We talked about after we take inventory of what we have, we talked about letting go. That's really hard sometimes. But letting go and giving it to God to do what only he can do with it. We talked about right after we let go, we began to worry. That's where you go, that's not what we talked about. We talked about sitting down and having faith that we handed it to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he can do with it what he wants to do with it. And we talked about watching what he does. And then finally, we talked about being good stewards as he blesses and as he continues to do his work, that we are good stewards with what he places into our lives. So we're going to continue this series. And today, it's who you following. Who you following? When we first were beginning to hit the road in Florida to come up here, one of the things I did is like, you know, I grabbed Siri. You know how you can grab and you know, and directions to Midland, Michigan. And which isn't hard because we're like 5 miles off I-75, so it's, you know, 75 north. But I did that. And I'm looking at it, I'm going, that's not right. The time wasn't even close. And there were roads. I'm going, she gave me Midland, Texas. You got to be careful who you're listening to, okay? Now, how many of you ever, let's be honest, and hopefully it's not the person next to you, but how many of you follow people that didn't know where they were going? Yeah, it's kind of important to follow somebody who knows where they're headed, right? Men? Let's be honest. How many of us like to ask for directions? Ladies, let's be honest. How many of you is that frustrating for? Yeah, that's what I thought. We can figure it out. I don't need directions. Just like I don't need directions to fill up, to put together stuff. I can figure it out with all the extra parts I have left over. I was teasing. Many of you know Gary and Connie Weber. I was teasing them in the early morning service that those of you who don't know Gary, Gary's a lot like Lois. Lois is 9 o'clock, her eyes may be open, but nobody's home. Lights are on, nobody's home, right? Same thing happens with Gary. Gary, after 9 o'clock, in fact, Connie says it's actually been fun. They'll be at somebody's house till like 9:30 at night or whatever. They go to go home, and she'll just let him drive. And he like drives who knows where. There's no, like one day he's just headed out. And she's like, where are you going? I don't know. It's nowhere near home. So I was teasing them in the first service. But it's so important that we learn and we understand that we better be following the right person. And we better be doing some things that cause us to be able to follow. One of the things that we're going to talk about, or we're going to go through today, is the story, and I just love the story. Peter and John at the gate called Beautiful when they heal the beggar. You didn't catch me. When God healed the beggar through them. We're going to talk about this story, and I absolutely love, love, love this story. There's some things that we're going to pull out of it, we're going to learn today. Pray with me very quickly. Dear God, I do not want to spew words that have anything to do with Gene. I want you to empower me. I want you to speak through me what's on your heart for us as a body today. And God, we'll give you glory for what you do in your name. Amen. Amen. Let me read this passage to you. It's Acts 3, 1 through 10. Each of you should have got a little outline when you came in with some blanks on it. On the back of that are the verses. I'm going to ask you to do some things with this. So grab your pen and let's have some fun. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. I want you to circle at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day. Circle every day for me, please. To beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, I want you to circle it, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. I want you to underline that whole thing. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Circle praising God for me, please. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. In order to follow God's leading, this is what we're going to talk about. In order to follow God's leading, there are some things that we must learn to do well. In order to follow God's leading, there's some things that we must learn to do well. The first thing, and this is your blank, your first blank, is walking with God. Now, if we look at this passage, what we see is they were going to the temple at the time of prayer. That's very significant. Okay? What were they going to the temple to do? Pray. There was purpose. There was planning that went into this. They were going to the temple at the time of prayer. They were going to spend time with God. The first thing in order to hear God's voice is we have to be walking with him. That's what these guys were doing. They were walking with him. Is it important that we spend time in the Word and time in prayer? Yes. Okay, it grows us in our walk with God. We have to also make sure that we are in the right place to hear God's voice. Do you realize there's a lot of voices calling your attention? A lot of voices that want your attention in today's society. Maybe it's, there's some common ones, work. Work ever get in the way? Calls for our attention. Sometimes it's good stuff, but it calls for our attention. It grabs for our attention. And sometimes it's hard to walk with God when work's calling. Hobbies or free time. I love to golf. Not now, I don't. It's cold. But I love to golf. And if I'm not careful, that can get out of whack really quick because I want to get better. I think I can get better. I have visions of the senior tour one day. That's when I was 30. And the earlier I got to it, I realized, oh, that's not going to happen. But if we're not careful, hobbies, things can get in the way of us being able to walk with God the way we should. Do you realize, this is doing a little staggering statistics, easy for me to say. Americans watch 33 hours of TV a week on average. That's crazy. And that's time you don't get back. And although you may be getting wiser because you're watching Jeopardy, it's not really helping you probably. But that can interfere, can it, with our walk with God. Sometimes it's fitting in. Sometimes it's belonging. And man, it is absolutely silly what people will belong to just to feel to belong. I mean, some of it makes sense, right? I mean, you got clubs where they're playing games, or you got golf, you know, you got these golf teams that get together, you got basketball, you got different sports events, you got different craft things. Some of those make sense. Some of them are out there just to belong. Kyle went through a period of time in his life where he was playing Call of Duty. Video game. He got to the top 100,000 in the world playing that game. And you know what my comment was? It tells me you're playing too much Call of Duty. That's what it tells me. But if we're not careful, we can let those things creep in and occupy our time. Fitting in. I mean, believe it or not, that Call of Duty, there was a family there. He would get on, same guys would be playing. He could talk to the same guys, some of them from other countries. It was really interesting. But if we're not careful. The other thing that we have to be careful in our walk with God is we sometimes don't do very good with filtering what comes in here. So Christina, when she was quite a bit younger, talk about 4 or 5 years ago, she was listening to this amazing breadth of music. Everything from country to pop to jazz to whatever, rock, it was there. And I'd hear some of the words that were being sung. She knew the words to all those things. In fact, we would talk, Christine, if you put 1/10 the effort into your schoolwork that you put into memorizing the words of those songs, we'd be all set. But I was amazed. And I'd say, Christina, do you realize that whatever you're putting in, It's in there. And so it became a saying in our house to this day of, Christina, what's in your head? I know what I put in. It was interesting, probably within the last 6 months or so, we were talking and she goes, Dad, I think I'm finally starting to get it. I have to be careful what I put in. And we have to be careful what we put in, because what's in there, what we put in is what's in there. And sometimes it can get in the way of our walk with God. The second thing is we have to be okay with being interrupted. Interrupted. That's your second blank. We have to be okay with being interrupted. How many of you love being interrupted? Yeah, good. You're honest. They're not paying attention. One, two. His picture sometimes doesn't fit our picture. Here's Peter and John, and this is something else. Peter and John are where? What are they doing? They're on their way to the temple to pray. It's a set time. They're on their way. They had to be okay. It wasn't all supposed to rhyme, but it kind of did. That was kind of neat, wasn't it? They had to be okay with being interrupted. Come on, how many times are we on our way to something spiritual and it's like the Good Samaritan thing, I got to go, somebody else will take care of that, take care of them. We have to be okay with being interrupted. When we were getting ready to move, there's a lot that goes into a move, a lot more than personality-wise, I'm way overly optimistic, okay? I can take any project at home and say, that's 2-3 hours, we're good. Without fail, 2 to 3 days. Yep. If I did that kind of stuff for a living, I'd starve to death. Because I am the worst at predicting how long something is gonna take. But we were on our way, getting ready to come, and you have to go through all the planning. Again, in the beginning, I'm thinking, oh, this won't be too bad. We'll just get a bunch of us, put them together, put them in the truck, move it off, we'll go, right? Easy. So we're going through, well, it's a lot bigger than that. And especially the way Lois loves to organize, it's a lot bigger than that. So I'm going through and I'm trying to get, and wouldn't you know, this is like 4 days prior to move, Christina's car breaks down. And I like to fix it myself because I like to save money, so I can figure this out, right? Well, it'll take me a day. Turned into 2 days. Turned into had to take it in. Turned into my car wouldn't start. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I don't like interruptions. That's not what I had planned. I had planned the cars would work fine and I could work on this other stuff. But I had 3 days with the car stuff, right? We have to be okay with God interrupting us. Peter and John were on a mission, ready to head towards the gate, ready to head into the temple at the gate called Beautiful, to spend time in prayer. But they were open to what God might do. And we have to be careful and be willing to be open to whatever God, wherever God might lead, and being okay with being interrupted. The next thing, we have to be willing to see things with God's eyes, seeing things with God's eyes. The beggar sitting there at the temple gate, the beggar sitting there, and he's been hauled there every day, and he's convinced that what he needs is what? Money. Now, if you're really spiritual and you're Peter and John, he doesn't just need money. He needs encouragement. But that wouldn't have been seeing it with God's eyes. That would have been seeing it with Peter's and John's eyes. Be seeing stuff with my eyes. I have to be willing to see things with God's eyes. So if I'm open to, if I'm walking with God, my relationship is where it needs to be, and I'm okay with being interrupted, I'm convinced that God's going to interrupt. And that God will point me in a direction that I'm supposed to go. And just like in this case, I could have had a bunch of money, could have patted him on the back, everything's going to be okay, but that's not what God had for that moment and that time. We have to be willing to see things with God's eyes. There's a video that we're going to play. I want the guys to go ahead and play that video. This speaks to seeing things with God's eyes. Watch this.
Oh, that kid, every time I'm pulling out, he's right there. Man, and someone needs to talk to his parents if they're ever at home. What is up with the traffic today? And always, every day, this intersection is always crowded. I hate pulling out of here. Maybe some of these dumb roads. Oh, there's... Okay, so I'm not even here. Right. Great lady. The princess of parking. Oh, sure. Take the spot. Way to be considerate. Oh, are you kidding me? Unbelievable. Oh.
Thank you, ma'am. Have a great day.
It's about time. Let's see. What do I want?
Yeah, could I add a cookie to that order?
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, no problem, only guy in the world. I'm sure you need your cookies. The world, your oyster, and he's serving your cookies.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you so much.
Uh-huh. What can I get for you?
Yeah, I'll have a tall decaf macchiato.
Yeah, sure, no problem. $3.85. And it might take a few minutes here. We've got quite a line, obviously, and thanks for your patience.
Great.
Yeah, great. Great for me. Waiting again. Unbelievable. What? What? What is that? What in the world? Oh, what am I supposed to do? How can I do anything about that? Can I even help with that? I don't.
Your coffee, sir. Oh.
I can't take this anymore. I gotta get out of here.
Hey, what?
Sorry, so sorry.
Hey, buddy, come here.
Wouldn't it be awesome if we had God's eyes? Come on, how many of you have been in that situation? Some of those things are happening. Man, God wants to do something. And wouldn't it be nice to have God's eyes? It's being, again, the foundation of that is spending time in His Word, being willing to be interrupted, and then being able to see things the way that He sees them. The next thing is obeying God's leading. Obeying God's leading. And walking out in faith what God has impressed upon your heart. I love this. Look at verse 6. Look at verse 6 here. It says, "Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk.'" I love this. Okay? He didn't say, okay, God impressed upon his heart. He didn't look at the guy and say, "Walk." What did he say? "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Where did he recognize the power was coming from? Jesus Christ. Guys, it'll never be of you. If it is, it won't be of any value, and it won't last. We have to recognize that it's in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that we accomplish anything. Anything worthy of accomplishing. is going to be in the name of Jesus Christ. And then he says, walk. So here's Peter. God has impressed upon him, wait a minute, there's something different here. Probably walked by that guy, who knows how many hundreds of times. They knew that guy, probably knew him by name. But today was different. God interrupted their normal, and he impresses upon him, wait, I'm going to do something different. So he says to him, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. There's faith in that. But sometimes we do that, and then our natural look is just like this. In the name of Jesus Christ, I think you're calling me to. So, I love the next part. He says, walk, and what does Peter do? He takes him by the hand and helps him up. That's faith. God does not call us to understand all of where he is heading. He is calling us to the next step. So let me give you an example. When I was traveling, and I'm having a hard time not getting emotional about this, when I was traveling, one of the things that God laid upon my heart was a real burden for this coworker. And please understand, you got to understand this first, okay? The more you get to know me, the more you're going to realize this. I'm a dingbat. I'm a doofus. I was ADD. They just didn't know what it was then, okay? I had my own little desk up next to every teacher all the way through fifth grade because I was so special. I am not, you guys are way better than I am. I just have a heart to see God do something, and I want him to do something. So I have a burden for this guy that I work with. And I feel like I'm supposed to share my faith. And God's really burdening and it's churning in me. And I'm thinking, how am I going to do that? And what's Gene do? We talked about it last week. I started putting together a plan. How can I make this happen, right? But one morning I woke up and I felt that what God was saying was, you know what? Today. And I thought, oh. Okay, and I began to pray, God, if you want it to happen, would you please impress upon that gentleman to ask me out to eat tonight? Every now and then we do, but it doesn't happen all the time. Will you ask him to ask me to go out to eat tonight? So sure enough, middle of the afternoon, comes up to me, he says, hey, Gene, want to go out to eat? And, okay, if I'm honest, I'm like, oh, great, now I got to do it. Now God's put the opportunity in front of me. And so I'm thinking, okay, God, I'll be obedient. If you lay it out, I'll be obedient. So we go out to eat. We go to this restaurant. We're standing in line. It is a huge log line, way busy, and way noisy. You ever been in one of those restaurants where the person you're talking to, you can't even hear them? Okay, it was that bad. And I'm like, God, this is not going to work. I must have misunderstood. I must have... because there's no way I'm going to share my faith in this situation. So I begin to pray there. You know how you, wives, you know what I'm talking about. You know when your husband's talking, you do the whole nod and smile thing. Okay, well, he's talking to me, and I'm doing the whole nod and smile. But I'm praying, going, God, please, if this is really your will, have him suggest that we go someplace else. About a minute later, he turns around and goes, let's not eat here. Let's go someplace else. And again, shoot. You gotta be obedient now. So we go to this other place. You could hear a pin drop in this place, right? I was able to share my faith with that gentleman. I was able to say, you know what? Here's the way I feel. I know you. I care about you. And just like if I knew that if I had a cure for whatever disease it might, I'd have to share it with you if you had that. The same thing is true. I have to share this. So I was able to share my faith. It's so important that we obey when God leads. 2 Corinthians 11, 1 through 4. Go ahead and just mark that passage down. 2 Corinthians 11, 1 through 4. One of the things we have to be careful of is that we're matching things up with. When God leads, it will always be, 100%, always, it will never, ever, 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 ever not be supported by Scripture. So if sometime in your life somebody says there's four parts of the Trinity, which wouldn't really make any sense because there's three, but It can't be true. If somebody says Jesus really isn't the Son of God, it can't be true. If God ever leads you and you can't back it up with Scripture, it's not of God. You weren't really being led by God. So you can back it up with Scripture. You spend time in prayer, asking God to confirm it through His Holy Spirit. And guys, many times, not always, but many times He will bring others alongside you that will help confirm what it is God is leading you towards. And you can discuss that with them. Make sure they're believers in Christ with the same heart, seeking His will and seeking His direction as well. And guys, please remember that when we obey, I mentioned this earlier, but it's very important. We are not to understand how God will use that. We are to understand and obey to take that step. Period. Quick story. So Christina, going to a state college of Florida down there, it's a four-year school, but it's kind of like those glorified community colleges type situation, right? And she's going there, first year, she's doing good, enjoying it, and that's what she wants to do. She comes home one night, and she comes through the kitchen, and I can tell something's wrong. Yeah, you can do that with some people around you. Tell something's wrong, and so I'm like, Christina, are you okay? And she starts crying. God's calling me. I couldn't understand her. I could have swore she said, God's calling me into psychology. And I'm thinking, and why would we cry about that? I don't understand. Why is that a bad thing? I said, why are you upset that God's calling you into psychology? No, God's calling me to Bayside College. It was the college there at the church that we were at that God was calling her to. And immediately, this is so what we do. She goes, but what about, and what about, and what about? I said, Christina, it doesn't matter. If you feel that's where God's calling you, take the next step. So she got on her as one of her aunts who's a little older calls it, her texting machine, got on and texted the guy who runs it and says, this is probably out of the question because that was a Saturday night. By the way, school starts on Tuesday. They had way in advance they were supposed to have all this done. He sits down with us on Sunday morning. I got to share this story. He sits down with us on Sunday morning. He says, got good news. We were able to get her in. But he said, I got better news. And he said, this is kind of, and he starts bawling. So the girl who is over all the girls that happened to be in that section of the program was going through the night before on Facebook and friending the people who were already in the program, happened to stumble across Christina's name and said, why aren't you here? You need to be here. And began praying for Christina that Saturday night when she came home and came to us and said, I think I need to. Our job is not to figure out where God's leading or doing or what He's going to accomplish or how He's going to finish something. Our job is to take a step when He calls us to take a step. Amen. In faith. The last thing, giving praise where praise is due. We talked about this last week, and we will continue to talk about this. You have 100% permission to slap me if, when God moves, we don't give glory to Him. We will give glory to Him because when He moves, it's going to be, it has nothing to do with us. We've talked about that. And we're going to point to where the source is. In verse 8, he jumped up to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them to the temple courts and began walking and jumping and praising God. What's this beggar begin to do? Praise God. Okay? And they recognized him. They noticed this man. They knew he had been at that. Do you think it is an accident that God healed a man that everybody probably knew? Not at all. And he begins giving praise to God. How many of you ever had a good idea and you sit back and if you're honest, you may not do it outwardly, but if you're honest inwardly, you're going, yep, nailed it. Yep, thinking clearly today. Boy, bet you other people wouldn't have thought about that. Lucky thing for them, I'm paying attention. I know there are times when I do that And God looks at Gabriel and says, really? Where does he think the idea came from? We need to make sure that we're giving praise where praise is due. Those thoughts that come into your mind when all of a sudden you feel impressed and you know it's like, those are from God. Give him credit. Turn and say, thank you, God, for what you're doing. There was a time when we first moved to Florida. How many of you remember the 1959 bug that Kyle drove that was Baja'd and noisy as all get out? Do you remember that thing? Okay. So we decided to haul that down to Florida on a car dolly. We get down there and hook it from the truck. And the next day we have to return the car dolly. So I said to Kyle, I said, hey, let's go out. Let's take the car off the car dolly. So I get in the car and I said, Kyle, can you just make sure that this dolly doesn't go anywhere? Oh, sure. So he goes over and he's grabbing onto it and he decides, I'll stand on it. So he stands on it. So I, not realizing, again, remember, please refer to the beginning of the sermon when I talked about me being a doofus, dingbat. Okay. It's a teeter-totter. I pull off the front, the back launches. He goes flying up in the air, comes down, and there's a ratchet thing that you put this thing over the tires, ratchet thing, and hits it just below his knee and starts just screaming. Now, please understand, he had just walked on and been accepted onto the golf team at Southeastern University. A huge dream to play college golf for him. I get out of the car, I come running around, I look over, and I'm not exaggerating when I say it was a baseball size. I thought it was broke. It looked horrid. We get him in the car, rush him to the emergency. When we walk in the door, they're like, ooh, that does not look good. And I think, I cannot believe I just broke my kid's leg. I can't believe I... And so they take a bunch of x-rays, and come to find out, it's severely, severely bruised. The doctor comes in the room. He goes, 1 inch higher, it would have shattered his kneecap. An inch to an inch and a half lower, it would have broken his leg easily. By the way, that ratchet thing, when he hit it, gave loose. They're not supposed to. The other side, I tried it later. I could not get that to come loose. Just dumb luck. Just coincidence. No, give praise when praise is due. I don't know why. Because something could have happened, but for whatever reason, God's providence, that time, at that moment, he protected Kyle from his moron father. Give praise when praise is due. So let me ask again, who are you following? Who are you following? First, are you putting yourself in a place to hear God's voice? Are you? Are you really putting yourself in a place to hear God's voice? Oh, you understand. I do devotions a couple of times a week. Are you okay in your life? Are you really okay with being interrupted? Here's what I know. If you're putting yourself in a place where God can speak to you, if you're walking with God, really walking with God, I guarantee he will interrupt you. That's what he does. Are you able to see life, people, etc.? Are you able to see through God's eyes? Are you asking him to reveal and make aware to you what he's wanting to do? And are you obeying as he leads, taking that next step when he identifies it? And then, finally, are you giving praise where praise is due? Do me a favor. Bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment, please. I want to ask you a question. Nobody looking around. These areas that we've talked about, if you're honest, is there one or more that maybe you know God has put his finger on that he wants to work? If that's true, would you just raise your hand for just a moment and slip it down? Okay. Let me pray with you. Dear God, thank you. Thank you for the way through your Holy Spirit you convict, and you don't do it to make us feel bad. You do it to direct us. So God, thank you for that direction. And I pray that as you put your finger on one of those areas, I pray, God, that we would come to you recognizing that it's not in our own strength and our own power that we accomplish anything, that even our growth and our walk with you is empowered by you. So God, I ask that as we come to you that you would do what only you can do in helping us to continue that transformation. I pray, God, I pray that you would grow us, not so that we're just mature Christians who somehow have arrived somewhere, but dear God, grow us for your honor and for your glory, for us to touch other lives so other people can come to know you, so that other lives can be transformed, so that other people can grow, so that they can touch other lives, so that those people can be transformed. I pray, God, that you would do that, and we will give you praise. We will give you glory. We will point to you as you do that. In Jesus' name. Also, if you could just keep your heads bowed and eyes closed for just one more minute. If this morning you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, or maybe you've had a relationship with Jesus Christ, maybe you have just kind of, things have gone stale, and you want to recommit your life to Christ, if that's you this morning, and God's putting his finger on your heart, I just want you to quickly raise your hand and put it back down. If that's you this morning and you would like to accept Christ as your personal Savior, would you just do that for me? Just real quick, put your hand up and put it down. Okay, let me pray again. Dear God, I thank you for what you're doing in these people's lives. I want to thank you for what you're going to continue to do. God, stir within us. Interrupt our lives and stir within us those things that you want to accomplish. And God, as you do that, as you mature us, bring others to us. Help us to faithfully step out in obedience. And God will give you praise for what you do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll hear us do this a lot. I want to pray this blessing over you. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. And I get excited. Please get excited with me. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ever ask or imagine, according to his power that is work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and forever. And everybody said, amen. 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 You may be dismissed. Thanks so much for coming out and worshiping with us today.